The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
To celebrate the 50th anniversary of the opening of Vatican II, the last council of the Roman Catholic Church, also the 20th anniversary of the publication, boy, has it been 20 years since the publication of the Catechism, Pope Benedict XVI, the current reigning pope, has established what he called the Year of Faith, running from October this year, beginning in just a few days, to November the 24th in 2013, and as part of that Year of Faith celebration, where he says they'll be talking about the proclamation of the truth, he has issued an indulgence, something called a plenary indulgence. Is this the same kind of indulgence that we hear about when we read the history of the Lutheran Reformation, the 95 Theses, Martin Luther writing about indulgences against the issuing of indulgences? Is this the same old purgatory and the teaching of the medieval church here in the year 2012? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Martin Nolan joins us for the first few minutes to talk about the special indulgence granted by Pope Benedict XVI. A little bit later, Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz will join us. We're going to talk about homosexuality in the home, how it is you deal with people who are struggling or not struggling against this temptation, when they're your friends, your relatives, your neighbors. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be with us in hour two. We'll talk about the real Christian divorce rate. It's often said that Christians divorce at exactly the same rate as non-Christians. That's not exactly true. We'll find out how so. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us in the last part of hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll talk about Gideon. That'll take us to Judges chapter 6, a famous story of Gideon and the fleece and the signs and God's victory over his people's enemies. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at Issues ETC. Dr. Martin Nolan is a regular guest, a former director of the Concordia Historical Institute, and pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. Marty, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Afternoon.
Is this the same kind of indulgence, this one that has been announced by Pope Benedict XVI, as Luther was dealing with in the 16th century when he first began to have concerns about the issuance of indulgences?
As far as I can tell, there is no major difference between the two. The theology of the Roman Church has changed in many aspects, but in the area of the doctrine of purgatory and indulgences, that was pretty much codified by the Council of Trent after the time of Martin Luther's death, and pretty much it hasn't changed since. You can find the doctrine of the about the indulgences, you can go to your local bookstore and get what is known as the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a bestseller. Both the faithful and those that are outside of the communion of Rome can pick it up and read in clear English what they teach. In the sections 1471 to 1479 talk about the practice and doctrine of indulgences, and as I read it, it doesn't sound a whole lot different from the time of Martin Luther.
So what is an indulgence?
The it's something that occurs within the sacrament of penance. Those Protestants probably don't understand penance. Lutherans come close when they talk about the office of the keys. In Lutheran churches, generally, we have confession and absolution at the beginning of the service. At least that's our practice today in the Missouri Synod. We also offer private confession for those that feel a need to do that. Other Protestants, I believe, it's not even on the table. Eastern Orthodox probably have a very similar doctrine. The idea of the indulgence is that you commit sins throughout your life, and this is referring to the baptized, not to unbelievers, but that when you're baptized, you're washed clean, but you continue to sin. And these are not mortal sins. These are just kind of the day-to-day sins, like getting angry at the guy that cut you off on the highway, or you know, the little spat between you and your wife, and those things count against you in the eternal on the eternal books. And for you to get to heaven, according to Catholic doctrine, you have to be holy. Now Jesus helps you get there, but he doesn't get rid of these temporal sins. And so, what these indulgences do is they provide a way for you to be forgiven of those sins, but they're not in the sense where Protestants talk about forgiveness. They mean full and free, paid for Christ once for all on the cross, and you believe that, and it's a done deal. With the Roman Catholic Church, you're just continuing to book up all these sins, and you have to work them off one way or the other, either through almsgiving or through indulgences or other works of penance that your confessor might require. And the nice thing about the indulgences from a Catholic standpoint is this is kind of like a sweepstakes, or no, maybe that's not a good... It's more like the lottery. It's like the Pope says, okay, now all of you, everybody that out in the faithful, you can win the lottery in this matter of payment for your sins if you do these specific things. And in this letter, which was released October 5th, he explains what you have to do in order to get those indulgences. But once you get it, this plenary indulgence covers all the sins that you've committed before the year 2013. Or you can also request that this be done on one of your loved ones on your behalf. So you can, through a year, you can do this indulgence and help somebody else get out of purgatory for free, basically.
So make it clear, in Tridentine Roman teaching, that is the teaching that has come from the Council of Trent, what is the relationship between their teaching of purgatory, what's that, and this notion of indulgences? Start with purgatory.
Purgatory is a place where the people that basically are not holy already, those that die having, we'll just put it simply, the nuns and the monks have given up everything for Christ, and they live their life that way and suffer the cross. This is Catholic teaching. And when they die, if they have not committed any grave sins, they will go straight to heaven. And they and the bishops, and also then people that are declared to be saints by the church, they go free. You know, it's like what is it? Monopoly. Go straight home. The rest of us, and that includes I think your normal everyday priest, your faithful Catholic layman that goes to Mass every day. When they die, they go to the intermediate state called purgatory, and in that state, they need to work off their sins. Now, there's a variety of ways that's done. It can happen over just a long period of time if nobody intercedes for you, and you just have to wait till you go through a period of suffering in purgatory, and then finally get out. If you read through Dante's Inferno and Purgatorio and the final part about heaven, you'll see how that works. And Dante's work is really the best way to explain it, to walk through it step by step. But you can kind of take the elevator and skip a couple of those steps if somebody here on earth does this indulgence on your behalf. And so mainly where this benefits the faithful are, that is in the Roman Catholic Church, is that those of their loved ones that have passed away, in their mind, they're able to help this person get out of purgatory, and so the next generation helps the one that's ahead of them. And that's what they understand to be the communion of saints.
And purgatory being this state where, I mean, as it, the name implies, according to the temporal consequences of these sins, a person is purged and finally finally made holy to enter eternal life.
Correct. And so when they say temporal, they don't mean here on earth. What they mean is that the punishment or purgation for sin happens in a limited period of time. And that once you escape purgatory, or you finally have paid off those sins, either through your punishments there or through an indulgence here on earth, then you enter the eternity of the blessed, where there really is no time. And that's what the word temporal means there.
With only 30 seconds, with all this said, what was it that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, bottom line, found deeply problematic about both purgatory and indulgences? About 30 seconds here before our break.
Well, the chief issue was that it undermines, if not completely negates, the merits of Jesus Christ on the cross, because the clear teaching of the New Testament is that this is forgiveness of sins, which we use the term forgiveness to mean cancellation of debt. It is clear and free. And if you believe in that, then you're going to be saved. When you die, you join the blessed in heaven. And that, all it does is it undermines the certainty of faith. It causes people to doubt God's love and grace toward them, and this is what the Reformation was all about.
When we come back, we'll have more with Dr. Martin Nolan, former director of the Concordia Historical Institute, about a special indulgence granted recently by Pope Benedict for the year beginning October 11th, the year of faith, as he has said. Find out what it is he is telling the Catholic faithful they ought to do for this plenary or full indulgence. We'll be right back. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org. The hymn "Now Thank We All Our God," sung by the Gloucester Cathedral Choir. It's heard right now at Lutheran Public Radio. And at Lutheran Public Radio, you will hear 24/7, 365 days a year, the church's music from the very best choirs you can possibly hear. A growing library of music includes choral pieces that span the centuries. And that's why we are able to offer it 24/7 at Lutheran Public Radio, absolutely free. Tune in anytime. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Dr. Martin Noland is our guest. We're talking about a special indulgence granted by Pope Benedict XVI for his year of faith. Okay, we talked before about what an indulgence is and how it's related to the Roman Catholic teaching of purgatory. When they say it's a plenary indulgence or full indulgence, as the press release says, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean kind of a one-time shot to skip purgatory altogether?
Well, the way I understand it, and you on this specific question, I've never been clear myself. You'll have to ask an expert in the Roman Church. But my understanding is that of the day that you receive the indulgence, if this is done for those that are in purgatory, that, you know, because they've already committed all the sins that they're going to commit here on earth, once they've received a plenary indulgence, let's say for John Smith, and he's deceased, well, now he's released from purgatory and goes to heaven. If you get this for yourself, it pays off all your sins in the past, but I do not believe that it covers everything into the future, because that would then be invitation to license, according to their theology, certainly. So that's how I understand how it works. So it depends on whether you're dead or alive on how it works out.
Okay, so obviously for the dead who no longer sin in that state, awaiting eternal life and purgation, this could be a slate wiped clean for the living. If one were to do this for oneself, then it would be one starting with a clean slate, so to speak.
Right. And the other thing is, I think this explains to the general American public who are not raised in the Roman Catholic Church or understand the Catholic culture, why they have a very close family structure. Because really you depend on your children to do this for you. After you die, you hope and pray that your son or your daughter is going to do this plenary indulgence for thing, and then you're going to get off. If you don't, the other side of it is you don't have any children, who's going to do this for you? So it encourages creating families. It encourages close family relationships so that the next generation is going to help the one ahead of them in purgatory to get out without having to suffer a whole lot.
This is really part of a bigger system in Roman Catholic theology, isn't it? A system where masses are said for those who have died, the faithful who have died, also in order to mitigate time in purgatory?
That's correct. Now, I don't know to what extent they still do private masses. I know that on All Souls Day, which would be Halloween, I think that's the same date, that they pray for all the souls of the dead that have passed away in the previous year, and the Mass on that day, I believe, applies to all those souls. They also have, I believe, funerary Masses of a variety of sorts. You know, typically, if you go to a funeral, there may be some cards about a novena that's said on behalf of the, and so that is a type of a Mass, I believe, that does help the person that's deceased, and it's to their benefit, at least according to, again, Roman Catholic doctrine. So I do not believe, though, that the amount of private masses that was there in the 16th century is still being done today. I think there is much less of that, and part of it is simply they don't have as many religious or as priests as they used to have.
Well, and they also don't have what was so immediately troubling to Martin Luther, kind of the on-the-street sale of indulgences that he found so repugnant. Talk about that. What was it? I mean, the story there is rather long, but it does lead to the writing of the 95 Theses and his concerns about the system of penance in general.
Yes, and that's a whole part of the history of the Reformation. In fact, the movie that I believe the Germans published this about 8 years ago, that came out in the movie theaters about Martin Luther, I think that its depiction of this whole issue was done very well. And the issue there was that the hawkers of indulgences really were not following canon law, that is, the law that determined how you were supposed to distribute these. The Pope made that very clear. This letter that he issued from Vatican City, October 5, 2012, it tells you why this is issued, and basically it's on the 50th anniversary of Vatican II, as you said at the beginning. He says who it's supposed to benefit. He connects it through the traditional doctrine of indulgences, and then he gives specific 3 points that I see here, the ways that you can get this indulgence, and then he gives instructions to the bishops and the priests, that is the confessors, about how they're supposed to administer it. So this goes way back. Every time that they've had an indulgence like this, when they say it's a letter of indulgence, it means that the instruction has come from the Pope, and everybody from the top to the bottom knows this is the way it's supposed to be done. Well, the problem was that people weren't doing that, and they were giving a false impression to the people that were buying indulgences, that it would get them, out of hell, or it just wasn't following the letter of the law. And so that was one of the, it wasn't just Luther. Many people were complaining about these indulgence hawkers who were actually being supported by the Archbishop of Mainz, who wanted to get elevated in his position, and he needed a lot of money. So he was just bypassing all the laws in order to get that money. So it was really a violation of Roman Catholic doctrine. And later, the Council of Trent did admit in, not broadcasting, but, yeah, things were not going. And that's part of what the Council of Trent was. It was a reform council to prevent further abuses in the sales and the issuing of indulgences.
Was Luther also concerned about the Pope's claim of authority to issue indulgences?
Well, of course. And that was something that, that is what made, the protest about the abuse of indulgence sales, like Tetzel was doing, there were a lot of people that were doing that. Luther was not the first. But it was in the 95 Theses where he protested in a kind way. I have to say, he wasn't just bashing the Pope like he did later. But he was trying to point out that really, according to traditional canon law and the doctrines of the fathers of the church, the Pope didn't have this sort of authority, or at least he was questioning it. And so the idea of the 95 Theses is, let's have a debate about this. He says, I've seen a lot of things in the fathers and the canons that say the Pope really doesn't have this authority, and you think he does, so let's have a debate and figure it out. And that's what the 95 Theses was. When the Pope saw it, he said, wait a sec, this is challenging my authority. I thought I had the authority to do that. And so he quickly talks to his counselors, and they say, well, we can't let this challenge go unchallenged, and we're going to have to stop this before it gets out of hand. And that's how the Reformation got going.
So if someone were a faithful Roman Catholic today and was hearing news about Pope Benedict's declaration of a plenary indulgence for the coming year, beginning of the 11th of October, what is Benedict asking the faithful to do in order to procure that indulgence?
Well, the normal things is that they... We talk about the faithful in the Catholic Church. They do regular things on a regular basis, like they go to confession, they receive the Eucharist, and they pray for the Pope and the work of the Church. So you have to do all that. So you've got to be one of the faithful. And then there are specific requirements in order to obtain the plenary indulgence. I don't know if you have to do all of them. I think there are options, and you have to talk to your confessor who will explain to you how that actually works. But one of the things is, for example, you can go on a pilgrimage to a very famous basilica or cathedral. Like you there in St. Louis have the new cathedral, which is not too far from our St. Louis Seminary, and maybe that will be designated as one place where people from other parts of the country or farther away in the Midwest, they can take a pilgrimage there and participate in the liturgy or a mass, especially if it deals with the saints or the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that will count toward obtaining a plenary indulgence. It also says that they can attend 3 sermons at a parish mission in which there are lectures on Vatican II or the catechism. That's the new catechism. And also it talks about Catholics who attend Mass celebrated a bishop on the Year of Faith's last day, the Feast of Christ the King. So that's be in 2013. And they'll also receive an indulgence. So it looks like you can do any one of those three, but I won't guarantee that I'm interpreting that properly. The confessors will know the rules for that.
With only about 30 seconds here, what are your pastoral concerns? I imagine they follow those of Luther. But what are your pastoral concerns about something like this for people who would hear this news? About 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, it's the whole doctrine of the faith regarding salvation, and you know, if a Roman Catholic person is willing to listen to me, I'll say we know through the New Testament that forgiveness of sins is totally free. There is no work like this that we have to do. All we can do, all that we can do, is receive it as God's promise to us through faith and through receiving it in our baptism.
Dr. Martin Nolan is former director of the Concordia Historical Institute and pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. Marty, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Ryan Agradowitz is going to join us. We're going to talk about homosexuality in your home.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The next time you purchase a plane ticket, please remember what I'm about to tell you. Jeff Smyzik, the president of United Airlines, is co-chairing a swanky fundraising event for Planned Parenthood in Houston. Tickets start at $500 each. This isn't just any abortion mill. It's the largest mill in the Western Hemisphere, and it's located smack dab in the middle of Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. The head of United Airlines is partnering with other wealthy people and Planned Parenthood to abort the babies of those who are deemed in society by some to be less desirable. My job makes me a frequent flyer, and I don't know about you, but I will not be flying on United because their president is helping to exterminate the most vulnerable and defenseless citizens of Houston.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.